Our scripture reading today is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who is righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. May God bless the reading of his word.
God's story, Anna and Simeon. So part of God's story is about Anna and Simeon, and it goes like this. For hundreds and hundreds of years, God had been promising his family, the Israelites, a rescuer and king. He told them that this rescuer would come as a baby and would be his very own son. People waited a long, long, long time for the Savior to come. Lots waited their whole lives. Well, when Jesus was finally born, there was a man living in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was especially excited for God's promised king because he loved God and followed him with his whole heart. He even got to talk to God through the Holy Spirit. Nowadays, anybody who follows Jesus gets to talk to the Holy Spirit anytime. But before Jesus was born, the Holy Spirit only talked to some people, and Simeon was one of them. Anyway, one of the things the Holy Spirit told Simeon was that the baby king would be born while Simeon was still alive. Since God had been promising the rescuer for hundreds of years, this was a big deal. Simeon would actually get to meet God's rescuer. Just didn't know when. On the night of Jesus' birth, angels appeared to shepherds and announced Jesus' arrival. They excitedly ran out, telling everyone they knew. But remember, there weren't phones or internet back then, so not everyone knew that Jesus had been born, including Simeon. A little while after Jesus' birth, the Holy Spirit told Simeon to go to the temple. He may not have known why, but he obeyed anyway. Good thing he did, because while Simeon was at the temple, Mary and Joseph brought their new baby Jesus to the temple too, to dedicate him to God. As soon as Simeon saw Mary and Joseph with Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. We don't know exactly how he knew, but he did. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and said, "Lord, you are the King over all. Now let me, your servant, go in peace. That is what you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen what you have done to save your people." See, Simeon was getting pretty old, and meeting Jesus was the one thing he wanted in his life. Now that the rescuer was here, he was ready to die in peace. There was someone else in the temple that day, a woman named Anna. For many years, she had stayed at the temple day and night, worshiping God through fasting and prayer and talking to God through the Holy Spirit, like Simeon. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long she'd been there, but by this time, she was 84 years old. She knew God well, and like Simeon, she had been waiting for the king God had promised. Sure enough, Anna came by just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph. Immediately, she praised God. The king was finally here, just as God promised. When Simeon and Anna met Jesus, they were overcome with joy. The Bible tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. Simeon and Anna were sure that God had promised to send a rescuer. They were sure he was coming. And when they saw Jesus, they were sure the rescuer had arrived. All because they had faith that God keeps his promises. And that's the story of Anna and Simeon. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God promised a rescuer. People waited. Simeon waited a long time. He loved God. God said he'd meet Jesus. Simeon met Jesus. Meeting Jesus was all he had wanted. Anna loved God too. She was waiting for a rescuer. She met Jesus. Simeon and Anna had faith. God kept his promise. And that's a part of God's story.
In the city, when you go to the bank, you have to wait in line outside. They only allow so many people to go in. We go out for a hot chocolate or a drink. We wait in line in our cars and do a drive-through. Pickup is a drive-through or a curbside pickup. We're waiting everywhere. We're probably going to look at some other restrictions very quickly, and that might mean more waiting for us. We're waiting for the vaccine. It's come. Now we need to wait to get the shot. We're waiting to be able to hug those we love. There's nothing like a hug. It's a healing thing. Even though I joke about being a porcupine, I still like a hug. I'd like to hug my daughter, who's just come back from Turkey, but she's in quarantine. We're waiting for the right to go into a senior's home, to play music, to talk with them, to share with them. You know, I've called Dorothy Reed every week since her grandson passed away. I've never met Dorothy. I have no idea what she looks like. If she walked by on the street, I wouldn't know her, probably because she has a mask on too. But, you know, I'd love to be able to go to her and wrap my arms around her and tell her that we love her. So we're waiting. Waiting is not something we're good at. Matter of fact, I'm probably one of the worst waiters in the world. I hate waiting. So when we look at waiting, we look at it and we say, not for me, thank you. But we're going to continue to wait for the next months, maybe a year, before we're actually back to normal or longer. I want to talk to you about two people who were waiters, not like us. They weren't angry about the wait. They were joyful about the wait, and they were willing to wait, even though no one else was waiting with them. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we pray that you would take the message this morning, that you would edit it, edit me as a person, edit my heart, cleanse me, and speak through me. And Lord, we pray that each one of us would have ears to hear so that we would truly know you and walk with you in the days to come. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see is we see Joseph in this story. Joseph got a command from God himself. You're going to have a son. It's not your son. Take that woman. You're going to be the caretaker. You're going to be his stepdad. And Joseph wants to do everything right. Because when God speaks to you like he did in a dream, You don't want to mess up. So at the right time, he took his son, his stepson, and had him circumcised. And 33 days later, he went again to have that child dedicated as the firstborn male in the household. That was all laid out in Scripture. It was laid out thousands of years before Joseph was ever born. And long before that, before the foundations of the world were laid, God had a plan. He had a plan for two people, Simeon and Anna. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine knowing that plan? Knowing that man would sin and disobey, and God would have to provide the means for us to come back into a relationship with him? To know that there were two people that he had chosen out of the whole universe to be his messengers. That's an amazing story. I'm learning to color. I'm 67 years old, and I'm learning to be what they call a colorist. And one of the things they talk about when you're trying to color a picture is to look at the picture and see the whole picture. Well, I can't do that. Well, sometimes I can see what the bird's going to look like, or I can see what that forest is going to look like, but to see the whole picture is just beyond my ability right now. There are artists who look at something, and they color it, and they have it all planned out before they ever pick up a pencil. I'm not one of those. God did more than that. Not just a picture, not just a moment, but all of eternity he knows. So he knows everything about what's going on right now. He knew long before the foundation of the world that COVID would hit the world at this moment. He has a plan. He has a purpose for it. We may never know that plan and purpose. But as old guys, Gary and I, we were talking before the service, with the old warriors, you know what? One of the things we hope for is the soon return of Christ. We hope that it will return us to the fundamentals of being a community of faith, not just a church that's a business. We don't like that. It's something that is happening far too quickly, and we hate it. So Joseph had this roadmap. He did it, and the results were amazing. And the result was, we see, the rewards of waiting for Simeon was that he got to see the Messiah. That's a little story. It's sort of stuck in there, and we sort of overlook it because the big event is the birth, right? But wait a second. There's this man, this old duffer. He's old as dirt, just like my grandchildren say. He's a guy who's hung around the temple his whole life. He tells everybody about the Messiah, and they all say, he's a crazy old dude. What's he waiting for the Messiah for? We've waited. We've heard about that story from the time we were young, and the Romans came and took over. The Babylonians took us into captivity. The Egyptians have come through here with their armies. Everybody's at war with us. I don't believe that for the life of me. And they gave up waiting. They gave up believing. And here is Simeon, an old guy who says that God's Spirit speaks to them and told him that he would see the Messiah before he was born. Now, that's certifiable crazy in most people's books. And yet, here's a man who's old, who is not an influencer like they talk about. You know, today we talk about influencers, people who have Facebook accounts, who have huge followings. You know, Simeon doesn't have anybody following him. Now, if God were going to do this right, he would choose somebody like Kylie Jenner, who has 141 million followers. Let her tell the story. Everybody would catch on to it. You know, I thought, well, how popular am I? So I went and checked my Facebook account, and I have, I think, 151 people who follow me. And then I've got 157. I've got another 86 or so people who are following me on a little app called Strava, a bike thing I have. So 253 people altogether follow me. Well, I'm better off than Simeon. But God doesn't choose people based on their influence. God doesn't choose people based on their talents. God doesn't choose people based on their looks or their money or their education. That gives me great hope. Out of all the people of my generation, out of all the people that I grew up with, and I grew up with some amazingly talented people. In my day, Bible quizzing was the big thing. Some of you remember that. And I had a couple of guys who quizzed, and I mean, they were just brilliant at it. They would memorize whole chapters of the Bible. I never could do that. Matter of fact, I was an alternate to the alternate to the alternate on the quiz team. I didn't even ever get to actually do it. The truth of the matter is, God ignored them, and he called me to ministry. Why? The least likely to do it. The kid who grew up in foster homes. The kid who had alcoholic parents. And God chose me. He chose you. He loves you. He loves me. That's an amazing thought when we think about it. God's grace was in operation before the foundation of the world. And this is the message that he gives us. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. From the fall to the birth of Jesus, the message has been the same, that God would send a Savior, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan for all of us. Every single person born, every nationality, every race, every language group, God is in the business of redeeming us all. That is the message of Christ. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Baptists. It's not just for the Anglicans. It's not just for the Christian Reforms. He doesn't care about our labels. He cares about you. He cares about me. That is truly amazing. God has this amazing message for us. God chose both a man and a woman to have the message. We have this story of this woman. Her name is Anna. She's the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. Now, the southern kingdom has survived. What are the two tribes in the southern kingdom? Anybody know? Did you all go to sleep? Come on, who knows your Bible? It's who? Judah, Benjamin. She's neither from Judah nor from Benjamin. She's from Asher. And Asher is one of the tribes in the north that are the 10 lost tribes of Israel. She refused to worship the other gods. She refused to go with her own people. She set out on a journey at some point. How she got to Israel, to Jerusalem, we don't know. She bucked every trend that she was raised with and came and worshiped the one true God. We know that she's 84 years old. We know that she lived 7 years with her husband and then became a widow. So that means that if she was married between 13 and 15, let's say she was married at 15, that means that 7 years later at 22, she became a widow. We don't know whether she had any children. None are ever mentioned. So that means for 62 years, she was alone. We don't know when she went from simply being a widow to being somebody who hung around the temple. But we know that for a long time, she was a fixture in the temple. I wonder if one of the priests took pity on her and gave her a private room someplace off of one of the courts where she could have a bed and sleep and make her meals. She had no social security system. There was no CPP for her. There was no pension plan for her. Those weren't the way it was done. If you were going to be taken care of in your old age, you had children, they were your social network. They took care of you. You moved in with the kids, you helped with the grandchildren, and they paid the bills. She had none of that that we know of. She was a prophetess. Now, most of us think as a person who is a prophet is a person who talks to us about the future, tells us what's going to happen in the future. And that is one of the terms or one of the definitions of a prophet. But there is another biblical definition that is just as true. Somebody who understands the scripture and can tell us what it is and help us apply it to our day. That also is a prophet. And Anna, I think, was the second type. I think she was this woman who interfaced with people on a daily basis. They brought her their problems, their infertility. She'd fast and pray for those women. They brought to her their marriages that were coming apart. She would fast and pray for those people. They would bring to Anna their children who were sick and say, "Will you pray for them?" And she would fast and pray for them. And she became seeped in the Word of God. And when people came to her with problems, she would point them to God's teaching and help them apply it to their situation. And so she was another crazy old person who hung around the temple, who had some respect, but she was just always there. You know what happens to old people? Nobody listens to us, and we're invisible. You know, the older we get, the more invisible we become. And she had become invisible all around her. And yet, she had this sense of God in her. And coming up to them that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. A woman who chose to reject her own family heritage and put God first. A woman who didn't look to get remarried, 62 years single. 62 years putting God first. And when God came along in the form of a child, she knew in her heart that it was true. You know, these people waited and they were rewarded. But that's not the end of the story. You see, we're expected to wait. You and I, we're waiting for the completion of the story. We're waiting not just to get a better house or to see our children blessed by God. We're waiting for something much bigger than all of that. We're waiting for the soon return of Jesus Christ. You and I are called to wait. We're called to be those people who go to bed at night and pray, "Lord, come quickly." When we look around us and we look at the mess that we've made through our history of being on this planet, I can't wait for God to come back, to bring a new heaven and a new earth, to get up in the morning, maybe I won't ever sleep, but to walk out on the street and the lion walks down the street and the lamb walks down the street, and as they walk by, I run my hand through the lion's mane and my hand on the lamb. The pollution will be all gone. The pain will be gone. The death will be gone. The viruses will be all gone. I will not have a body that aches or a knee that is painful. The mental illness that some of us struggle with will be gone. The cancer will be gone. It will all be gone. That's what we're waiting for. That's what I want to encourage you today. Do not give up waiting. But you know, the truth of the matter is, very few of us are waiting. We want God to bless us today. And the thought of Christ coming back and bringing a new heaven and new earth is something that very rarely enters our heads. We're so busy accumulating things. We're so busy doing things. We're so busy wanting to be noticed. And God says, wait. Wait. I'm coming again. Some of you are going to say to me, just like they did in Anna and Simeon's time, we've waited a long time and God has not done anything. I think it's just a story. Well, all those people who weren't waiting got a surprise and are still in denial. Kind of like the anti-vaxxers, aren't they? You know, they say, well, you know, we don't need a vaccine. Well, we don't need a Messiah. We all need his Messiah. We all need him to come. And this world, our children, our grandchildren, need Christ to come soon and to bring an end to this evil that is all around us. So how do you apply this? You apply it by becoming a part of God's army who is waiting. Who is waiting and praying and asking God to come quickly, to return, send your son to complete the story. Now, I don't know whether I've done this justice or not, but there's a song I want you to listen to as we think this through, as we go from here to wait some more, as we leave here and we become part of the community of faith that waits upon the Lord. Could you play that video? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. You've given us more than we deserve or could ever use. And so, Father, we ask that you would take the gifts that we bring, our offerings and our gifts, our tithes. You'd use them to your honor and glory. That what we give would remind us to keep our hands open, our ears open, our eyes open, to see when you need more of what we have, when you need us to sacrifice, that you might reach our community for Jesus. Lord, give us willing hearts, open pocketbooks. If you're able, please stand for the benediction. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor and power forever and ever. And all God's people said, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a safe time.